This is Mac DeMarco, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby, Le Chablis.
Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Well, that's debatable.
Okay, 1:30.
Fair enough.
Okay, 1:30. All right. I'll take that. Hell, I'll take 4 a.m. I really don't care. As long as we're the best thing at any point in time, I'm happy.
You know, even a broken clock's right twice a day.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So if we're the best thing on at least once a day, we're half as good as a broken clock.
That's exactly right.
That's pretty damn awesome. So, well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are good old Gal Denise.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. It's always fun to do some early morning drinking with the three of you.
And good old boy, our Made Man, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Excited to be here in the basement, and it's a good morning for early morning wake up.
And go to boy Justin.
Good morning. What a way to start the day.
Yeah, this job's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I never, ever complained about this job, ever, 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 ever. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and here's some of the wines that we're going to be discussing today. So we have from Waypoint, we have their 2020 Richie Vineyard Chardonnay, and the Waypoint 2012 Fort Ross Vineyard Pinot Noir. From the folks at Camus, we have the Emelo Sauvignon Blanc 21. We have the Marisolet 2020 Reserve Chardonnay, the Sea Sun 2020 California Pinot Noir, and the Conundrum 2020, and last but not least, the Camus Special Select 2017. So why don't we go to Justin, and I hesitate to do this. Have him do our sips ratings. This is not going to work out well for me. I can feel it.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. Grody to the mouth, for sure.
I told you it wasn't going to work out well for me.
Bring water. Two sips. Totally, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Not working out for me today. No. Right in the toilet. That's a record. That quick.
You don't want to be in the valley?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Totally. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my God! I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
To fall back on my 80s upbringing, gag me with a fork after that. So, oh, dear Lord, you are not or never will be a valley guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Totally absurd.
Nicolas Cage was the only guy in Valley Girl. I mean, come on. You know, him and Deborah Foreman. No, it's just not you. I'm sorry. I'm just not buying it. All right, so let's move on to our first winery, and let's have Justin tell us about that in English.
Okay. The New Frontier Wine Company is a culmination of innovators and artisans from around the globe with the heritage of some of Napa's finest terroirs. With a large stable of winemakers sourcing fruit from such vineyards as Beckstoffer to Cologne, Beckstoffer Dr. Crane, Beckstoffer Las Piedras, Beckstoffer Georges III, Richie, Grieve, Starscape, Charles Heinz, Renwood Estate Ranch, and Lowry, to name a few. New Frontier brings more than 30 wines from across the globe. First wine we're going to be talking about.
Just waiting for him to keep going here.
is Waypoint 2020 Richie Vineyard Chardonnay. It is 100% Chardonnay, Richie Vineyard, Russian River, Sonoma Valley, and 62% New French Oak.
Russian River Valley, Sonoma County.
What he said. and aged it for 18 months after barrel fermentation at 14.1% alcohol by volume. The Richie Vineyard is planted with 40-plus-year-old Wente clone vines that are carefully cared for by Kent Richie. So this has a nice lemony color to it. On the nose, it's like a brioche and hazelnut and an overwhelming nose of buttery, salty, buttered popcorn. On the palate, it's crisp. It's clean. There's like lemony citrus notes to it. It's crisp and there's a nice finish to it. Maury, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit contrary. How unusual.
Yeah, Jesus.
Well, I agree with you on the color. It's a nice light straw, and I definitely get the typical Chardonnay nose. For me, this wine was definitely crisp and minerally, a lot of bright acidity and citrus on the palate, but I found it to be just a little bit tight and a little bit astringent for my palate. Shocking when you think about that it spent 18 months in 62% New French Oak. I was expecting a little bit more oak, and instead it really drinks like a stainless steel fermented, and even has barrel fermentation, but it drinks like a stainless steel aged and fermented Chardonnay. I found it to be, like I said, minerally, but for me it was a little tight, and I thought the finish was short and uninspiring. I've had plenty of wines before from the Richie Vineyard, and some amazing Richie grows some amazing Chardonnay grapes, but this particular one today, just on this day, spot, and location, just didn't really hit home for me. Denise, what do you think?
Well, I agree and I disagree with just about everything that you said.
That sounds
so
typical.
What's really interesting though in these tastings is that we taste them and then we make some notes and even score them. But then I go back to it when we start the show. Oh, there you go.
Going back to
it? Yeah, we got a... Maury just lost a glass of wine. Alcohol abuse.
At least I didn't waste it. Break the glass.
So when I first tasted this wine, or let's start with the nose, I thought it was really light, almost florally, definitely some crisp citrus. And I'm like, oh, that's really nice. And on the palate, I found it to be sweet and a little tart at the same time. And then I just tried it again. I do like oak in my Chardonnay. When I first tried it, I really didn't think there was any oak in the Chardonnay.
Did you add water?
But now I get the oak. I get the wood. It's still a little sweet, even a little tart, which I kind of like. Haven't really found that in a lot of Chardonnays. But I get the oak. I think it's well balanced. I like the finish, and I really like this wine. So I don't find it tight right now. In the beginning, it was just a little crisper than I want, more like a Sauv Blanc, but it's definitely opened up, and I'm definitely getting the wood.
Tart's the right word. I definitely found it to be tart.
Interesting, right?
Puckery.
Yeah, on the sides of your cheeks. Like, really? But just, where'd that come from?
Did you aerate
I'm with
it
you.
Today?
It's
I did not aerate this wine.
Okay.
Did you?
I did not.
Okay.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
Right?
Sitting in the glass, it was definitely much tighter when we first opened it. I purposely didn't over chill it.
The temperature's just right. I'm happy with that because temperature can be a big variable, and when you let it sit, it warms up and then it gets some oxygen.
Well, a lot of times, what we'll do, especially with the whites, is I will chill them down a little bit further than normal. So you can start there, because it takes us, you know, we'll talk on the radio for an hour, but it takes us hours to do a show. And it will slowly warm up in your hand. It'll slowly warm up in the room, and you can sort of get that. But I only put in for a very short period of time just to get a little bit of a chill on them. And as this one has gotten air and as this one has warmed up, yeah, it's significantly changed.
Yeah, I think it's much better on the palate right now.
Oh, yeah.
But for me on the nose, it's still very, very light. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to get a lot of different aromas and anything like that on the nose. I mean, it's pleasant enough on the nose, but it just, it doesn't jump out
of the glass.
I got
more of the tropical
fruit. It's really nice on the palate. It's deceiving.
When we first poured it.
Mm-hmm.
When it was a little bit more chilled before it had gotten air, there was that tropical fruit note to it. And that's sort of blown off. I do get sort of like a brioche kind of toasted bread, light nose on that. And then there was the buttered popcorn that was there about half an hour ago. That's sort of blown down. It's not there as much. There's a little bit of a buttery note, but it's more oaky. And that's, I'm with you. I prefer my Chardonnays more oaky than buttery. This is definitely more on the side of what I'm looking at. And as it warms up and gets more air, the oak is more coming out. Now, it's not an overpowering oak, but it's overpowered that butteriness that I got when it first opened.
Yeah.
See, I didn't get any butter at all, and I really felt like the oak just never appeared for me. So, you know, if I didn't know differently, I'd wonder whether we were drinking from the same bottle. But, you know,
is that because you poured it all over the floor? So it's really never
that
had
could
the
be it.
No, because
opportunity
I made
to
my
open.
Notes when I first tried it, but I did come back to it and didn't really find much of a change. But I think that underscores the fact that a lot of things are dependent when you taste them are dependent on many things, which is why we know the Japanese guys who had the same lunch
every day
years.
For 40 years. Yeah.
What you've had to eat, where you are, who you're with, the time of day, the location, the weather, the barometric pressure, all those things can affect your palate on a particular day.
And I think she's saying the same thing I am. The oak is there. It's present. It's not some of these Chardonnays you get. It's like getting hit with a giant bat made of oak. You know, I mean, it's not that at all.
No.
But when we first tasted it, there was not the oak present. And that has come forward and pushed some of the other stuff into the background. So it's nice and crisp. It's, like you said, it's tart yet sweet. I'm getting the oak, but, you know, excellent wine. So we're going to be rating the Waypoint Richie Chardonnay. Three sips.
Interesting.
And crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished discussing the Waypoint 2020 Richie Vineyard Chardonnay. Gave that a well-deserved three sips. So we're going to be moving on to our next wine. We're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
Great. So this is the Waypoint 2021 Fort Ross Vineyard Pinot Noir from the Fort Ross Seaview Vineyard, Sonoma County, 1,700 feet elevation with views of the Pacific Ocean. And the ABV comes in at 14%.
Wish I had a view of the Pacific Ocean.
Me too. I almost added a beautiful view of the Pacific Ocean.
We're in Florida. I got a view of the swamp.
Agreed. So this Pinot, typical color of a Pinot, beautiful, light to medium garnet, looks great in the glass. I thought the nose was particularly interesting. I really like the nose on this. I found it to be just florally, just a lovely full-bodied nose, which was much different than the palate for me. And on the palate, I thought it was really mild, definitely something I hadn't expected. When I, you know, nose the wine. I thought, oh, this is going to be fantastic. And it is a great wine, so I don't want to take that away. But it's a little earthy. I think it hits the back of my throat and palate the most. It's not as full-bodied as I would like in a Pinot, although this, I guess, could be described as a typical Pinot for, you know, lighter Pinot lovers. I tend to like my Pinots just a little more full-bodied. But I thought it's beautiful. It's delicious. I thought the finish was nice. It's pleasant. It has a short to medium finish. And I think overall, it's a really interesting and pleasant Pinot.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's you know, there's sort of two schools of Pinot. Mm-hmm. There's the heavier and then there's the lighter. And right. I think they're definitely making it towards that. But I'm with you. The nose on it really kind of intrigued me because it's hard to describe. It's sort mm-hmm. of creamy and a little buttery, but almost there's a dusty earthiness to it. And that's blown off a little bit as it's got air, but it's still there. And as it's gotten air, the first thing I got was like slightly underripe blueberries, kind of tart blueberries. Mm-hmm. That also has died down a little bit, the tartness. The tannins are there, but they're very silky smooth. They're not, you know, you get a great mouth feel for you, get a good mouth coat to it, but they're not grab you by the throat and shake you kind of tannins. It's fresh and crisp. And on the back palate, I get a little bit of like a stewed fruit.
Yeah, it changes a little. It mm-hmm. really does. I think it gets a little drier as it opens up, which I found
exactly.
really interesting.
Yeah.
It was really silky and sort of clean. Yeah. And then as it sits in the glass, it's like, wow.
It was tart and fruity when we opened it, and now it's definitely much drier. The tannin, again, the tannin's coming forward, but it's not the punch you in the face mm-hmm. tannin, but it's that tongue coating dryness. It's interesting as heck.
Yeah, yeah, I like the way it changes.
I mean, it goes in different directions at one time. I'm kind of digging it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Maury?
Well, when I got to wine number two, I was thinking maybe it's just me, my palate's off today. But later on, I think we have some spectacular wines that I really liked and rated fairly highly. But again, on this winery, shocks me because I love most of the things that Chuck Wagner and family and the Camus brands produce. Particularly one of my favorite Pinots is their Bell Gloss Pinot, and it's disappointing that we don't have that to compare here. But that being said, this particular wine, for me, again, fell a little bit flat. I found it to be a little bit closed. I love the nose. I agree with Denise on the color and the nose, and a lot of fruit and cherry on the nose. For me, cherry came through very strong. On the palate, I found it to be a little bit unidimensional, a little bit thin, a little bit light. It's not so much the full body. Denise found that the complexity and the layers and the different flavors just really weren't there for me. I found it to be a little bit tight. I found it to be a little bit tart or even astringent. It didn't have as much complexity as I was looking for. The finish was a little short. And so, honestly, for me, I was a little bit disappointed. I think it's well-made wine, but it just didn't really strike my palate as I expected it to today. Justin?
So when I started drinking this wine earlier today, kind of earthy and tannic, and then as the tannins went away, the taste of the sea came into it, and I got that nice saltiness that's probably permeating the soil because of its proximity to the ocean. And it's kind of like that baby in Mork and Mindy that aged in reverse. It's a pretty cool trick. What do you think, Bob?
That was, what was his name? The comedian.
Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters, yeah.
Oh, right.
I'm trying to place it. I'm like, I can see the guy's face.
The Jonathan Winters of wine.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Benjamin Button.
I was going to say it, or Benjamin Button, sure.
But, you know, again, a really nice effort from these guys. Waypoint, they're kind of new. They just opened up a tasting room in downtown Napa. We're going to go there in a couple of weeks and check the place out. But
awesome.
They're sourcing grapes. So, you know, you've got to deal what you got to do with the grapes that you can get. And so far, I think they're doing well with it. I think they're putting out some quality wine for the money. So we're going to be rating the Waypoint 2021 Fort Ross Vineyard Pinot Noir. Well deserved. Three sips.
Interesting.
So let's go to Maury to tell us a little bit about our next family of wines.
Next, we'll be talking about Camus Vineyards. Chuck Wagner and his late parents, Lorna and Charlie, started Camus Vineyards in 1972. They were a family of farmers with roots in Napa Valley dating back to the 1850s. Chuck Wagner's parents, Lorna Bell Gloss and Charlie Wagner Sr., were both born to families that helped shape Napa Valley's wine industry in the late 1800s and beyond. In 1941, Charlie Wagner and Lorna Bell Gloss, Chuck's parents, purchased 73 acres just a few hundred yards from the Wagner home ranch, where they planted fruit orchards. One of their first acts on their new land was also to plant 10 acres of wine grapes. In the 1960s, Charlie and Lorna pulled out their prune and walnut trees to devote their property entirely to wine grapes, including Pinot Noir, Johannesburg Riesling, and a special clone of Cabernet Sauvignon that Charlie had acquired from Stag's Leap grower Nathan Fay. The Wagners sold their grapes to Inglenook Winery and Sonoma Vineyards, among others, and were highly regarded grape growers and home winemakers. It was in 1972 that Charlie and Lorna, along with their son Chuck, decided to go all in and formalized the family's long-standing tradition of winemaking when they recognized that they can make a better living by selling great quality home wines that they had been making from grapes they were growing on their property. They established their own winery and decided to name it Camus Vineyards after a Mexican land grant owned by George Yount that had once encompassed their land. In 1975, Chuck and his dad noticed that there were a few barrels that tasted better than the rest, so they decided to separate them from the batch and bottle them under a new label called Special Selection. Camus Special Selection is the only wine in the world honored twice as Wine Spectator Magazine's Wine of the Year for both their 19, I don't know what year that was, 84 and 1990 vintages. The first wine,
fresh wine, no more of this old stuff.
The first wine we're going to talk about is the Emelo Sauvignon Blanc 2021. The grapes from this expression come from both the Napa and Susan Valleys. It comes in at 12.6% ABV. Emelo is owned and made by Jenny Wagner, Chuck Wagner's daughter, and named after her maternal relatives who arrived in Napa Valley from Sicily in 1923. For many years, Emelo's ran a rootstock nursery providing grapevines to many of the area's growers, including Jenny's father, Chuck. So this wine is nearly colorless. It's a very, very pale hint of yellow. On the nose, we've got lots of tropical flavors, honeydew, peach, honeysuckle, and then a little hint of stone and sandalwood. On the palate, it's got a bright citrus note. It's got crisp acidity. You get hints of kumquat. It drinks beautifully. Very nice profile, similar to many of the Sauvignon Blancs that we've enjoyed from California. I found the finish to be short, but I thought it was very well made and very pleasant, something you could really enjoy in the sun by the pool for hours on end. What'd you think, Justin?
So I got up the notes that you mentioned, also a white melon on the palate and a little cedar on the back palate. The finish was very light, definitely a poolside sipper. You nailed that one. What did you think, Denise?
There's very little, I think, that I can add to the descriptions that both of you have provided.
Means I got something right.
Well, let's not get excited.
Yeah, don't get ahead of yourself, Junior.
Let's not get excited. But I love the nose. I mean, for me, the peach and the honeydew just jump out of this glass, and I think that that's fantastic. And the palate's nice. You know, it's exactly what you described. There's, like I said, not much I can add. It is bright. It is citrusy. It is crisp. I agree with both of you. I thought the finish was, you know, pretty short. But that's okay. It is a lovely wine that you could sit by the pool, and we all know that living where.
Well, it's not an expensive wine.
Oh,
you know, this is a you know, $20-ish bottle, $20-$25. So I mean, this is exactly what it's supposed to be. It's something that you're gonna. This is your everyday.
Right.
Yeah. Very approachable.
So, yeah.
Very affordable and very accessible.
And I'm happy to drink something this good every day. So. You know, again, it's got
a
really pretty
nose. I like being introduced
to
wines like this because, I mean, we've all, you know, had our share of Sauvignon Blancs. But I know people that perhaps only drink Sauvignon Blanc. And I'd like to introduce them.
Yeah.
You know, if I bring them a bottle, I would like it to be something other than what they're currently drinking. They tend to buy their stuff by the case and just continue to drink the same brand. So it's really nice to be introduced to other brands that, you know, we try and enjoy. And then the next time I want to bring them a bottle of wine, I'm like, you know, let's bring this and see if we can, you know, get them interested in something.
Yeah, the people
different.
That only drink Sauvignon Blanc.
And then if I have to drink it, it's something that I want to drink.
Yeah.
Always a good fallback.
If you only drink Sauvignon Blanc.
My definition of palatable might be slightly different from yours.
You're a
snob. Exactly. Yes, I am. it's a well-made Sauvignon Blanc. Again, the honeydew, a little bit of white peach. A little bit of white flour on the nose. It's got a very sweet nose to it, like a honeysuckle. And then again on the palate, it's very bright, very crisp,
but not too tart.
No,
not nearly as tart as some of the things we've had earlier.
Yeah,
I thought it was well balanced. And honestly, you know, the price is in line. Most Sauvignon Blancs, you know, this is right in line in terms of pricing. There's very few Sauvignon Blancs. You've got to go out of your way to find one that's fairly expensive.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm, you know, in an equal playing field of price, this is going to be the one I'm going to probably grab because this one's extremely well done. You know, well done. We're going to be rating the MLO. Sauvignon Blanc 2021, a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Bob, you want to talk about the next wine?
Yep. So that brings us to our next wine. Let me grab it here. You know, when we do the whiskey episodes, the glasses are a lot shorter. It's a lot easier to move them around.
A lot easier.
Got to get microphones and cords over these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have next up is the Marseillais 2020 Reserve Chardonnay. It's from Santa Lucia Highlands. Fermentation and aging is in a mix of old and new French oak for 11 months. Malolactic fermentation on a portion of the wine, and the barrels are hand-stirred to promote a creamy texture, about 14.5% ABV. So Marseillais began 30 years ago with a drive from the Napa Valley down to the Santa Lucia Highlands in search of land to plant Chardonnay. Their first vineyards were planted in 1988 on that land that previously was dedicated to grow crops and cattle grazing. Only about 20 miles from the coast, the Highlands has a drama all its own with morning fog, bright sunshine, and big gusts of afternoon wind. Marseillais is led by Charlie Wagner, Chuck's son, and in addition to the vines, they also grow Lisbon and Meyer lemons, my favorite, absolute favorite lemons on earth. And over time, an unexpected benefit emerged. Hints of delicate lemon blossoms began to come out in the Chardonnay. At least that's what they're telling us. So the scent and flavor carrying over from the nearby orchard. So, and I absolutely get the lemon note. You know, they're dead on with that. Lemons, very clean oak. Like kind of a Granny Smith apple.
But I find the lemon more on the nose than on the palate. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not as citrusy or lemony on the palate as some of our other wines, particularly the Sauvignon Blanc.
No. Well,
it's a beautiful, delicate lemon on the nose.
It's a very, very rounded palate. There's no edges to this at all. Very, very soft. Very, very round. I get a general citrus note, but it's not leaning more toward lemon for me. It's the opposite direction in citrus. A little bit of honeydew melon. A little bit of honey. Yeah, delicious. Delicious. What do you think, Denise?
You know, there's a description about this, and it's lemon bars. And when I first saw that, I'm like, ooh, I like lemon bars. I like everything lemon, really. And I actually use a lot of lemons. Probably daily.
Well, you got to live with that sour son of a gun on the end of the table. I'm sure you're used to it by now.
So I thought, maybe sweet and toasty. You know, that's what I was thinking. But for me, on the nose, it's lemon zest. I mean, I really get the sharp, crisp, oily.
Yeah, it's not
lemon,
that sweet.
As if I'm zesting lemons,
kind of lemon,
and it's right there. So Maury said it was a little milder with regard to the lemons, but I found it to be very lemon forward on the nose and lovely.
Yeah,
and that's perfect. For the palate, though, or on the palate for me, I'm not sure. It's described with sharp acidity. And for me,